Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to HIV Hope and Charity, a podcast series brought to you by TVPS, a charity that's been supporting people affected by HIV since 1985. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess, and we work for TVPS. And our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated. If you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to part two of Charlie Sheen. I'm welcoming you, even though it's your actual, you're going to talk us through it.
It's very kind of you to welcome me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm not going to sing the jingle either, because I think as a two-parter, I might just give people a break from that, maybe.
I'm on board with that, because I don't want to join in with the singing this week. Got a bit of a croaky throat this week.
It's not COVID, is it?
I have tested so many times. Yeah. It's definitely not COVID-related. It's just a cold.
That's good. There's that paranoia, isn't there? If you're like, oh my God, I should test all the time. I have that too.
Yeah, but I have been testing every day. Oh, not just me, the whole family. I'm making everybody test.
I bet the boys are loving it.
Yeah, they're particularly enjoying having to do that before breakfast every day.
Oh.
I know. Okay, so quick summary then. In our last episode, we looked at what led Charlie Sheen to the point where he disclosed his HIV status on American TV. And this time we're looking at that TV interview and what happened next.
Yeah, I actually don't know anything that happened next. I feel like in my mind, he just sort of disappeared a bit, which is awful, isn't it? I'm just like, he did this massive interview and then that was it. We just didn't hear from him again. And that obviously can't be true.
But it was a bit like that, though, wasn't it? Well, we'll see, I suppose, as the podcast goes on. But yeah, I'd say he's definitely not doing as many high profile roles as he was prior to all of this. Sort of 2015, so it's quite a while.
Again, I keep thinking that 2015, we've been over this before. I feel like it was about 2 years ago. Definitely wasn't.
And when you think how much has happened since then, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
But let's not talk about that. We'll be here for hours analysing how the last few years have changed.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, dear. Okay, so that TV interview then. So Charlie Sheen, he did, they called it an exclusive interview, but as we know, wasn't really that exclusive. I suppose it was the first time he'd gone on television to talk about his HIV status, but the National Enquirer, as we talked about last time, had already broken the story. So he went on to the Today programme, which shows in America. The host is Matt Lauer, and he went on there to address the rumours and the half-truths about his health, having learned that he was HIV positive in 2011. And during the interview, Charlie Sheen, he talks about the extortion he's experienced, people that he thought he could trust that knew his diagnosis, who turned against him, blackmailing him by threatening to reveal his status. All of that led him having to disclose to his ex-wives and his oldest children. And he says the extortion efforts resulted in him paying upwards of $10 million to keep his diagnosis secret.
I wonder how many people that was to. I wonder if two people just got like $5 million each. Or did 10 people get $1 million each? I mean, I know we could go on forever working these out and yeah. have like 100 people in the end, but I do wonder what's the going rate for blackmail? I don't know.
Got absolutely no idea, but it's a huge sum of money. And as we know, it went over quite a period of time, at least 5 years. But still.
Can I just say though, imagine having that much money that you could just blackmail people with £10 million and still have money, obviously.
Yeah, and still have money to live.
That's, that is absolutely crackers.
I know. He said his goal of appearing on Today was to free himself from that prison. So he's talking about the fact that he's having to pay these people money. And he goes on to say he doesn't know how he contracted HIV, but he was diagnosed following a series of headaches that led him to believe that he had a brain tumour. We've talked about this before, probably not on the podcast. I know neither of us find interviews of that kind of ilk particularly comfortable. And when you watch it, and I know you've seen it or clips of it as well on the news, you can see that he's not comfortable either.
That was really clear. Yeah, it was an uncomfortable thing to watch. It felt like someone was forcing him to. Now we've learnt the blackmail. Yes. But it very much felt this is not something. He's not there comfortably chatting, saying, oh, I feel so much better. Weight off my shoulders. That was not the vibe.
No, definitely not. And I mean, the video is available on YouTube, of course. Everything's available on YouTube for people to watch. But it's an intrusive video, I would say. And obviously, it's very personal. And we know now he's doing it because he has to, not because he wants to. Even so, it's just not comfortable viewing, really. And I think at the time, because I didn't know all the backstory, I just really felt for him that he was having to be put in this position.
Yeah.
He's asked in the interview about whether he could have passed the virus on to other people. I remember watching it at the time and thinking, oh, it's none of your business. Why are you even asking questions like this?
I did feel it really invaded his privacy. As we've said, uncomfortable viewing.
Absolutely. But now we know that the National Enquirer had already published the story. Perhaps it was to address the issues that had been raised in that story. So Charlie Sheen says he insisted, actually, he said it was impossible that he knowingly transmitted the virus to others. He admitted to having unprotected sex with two people since his diagnosis. Both were informed ahead of time and both were under the care of his doctor. But he dismissed the idea that he engaged in high risk behaviours. So now we know that because that story had broken in the National Enquirer and lots of people had come forward to say they'd had unprotected sex with him and he hadn't disclosed his status, he's trying to address that here, isn't he? And so that just didn't happen.
I understand him saying these people were ahead of time. I understand disclosure. That's fine. I don't so much understand saying they're under the care of my doctor.
Yeah.
That's a bit odd, isn't it?
If you're looking to put those rumours to bed that have been published, this probably wasn't the way to do it.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. And he doesn't mention who those two people are. And as far as I can recall, he's not pushed on it either. It's almost like they've got this kind of tick box exercise where we have to address this and now we're going to address this. He attended the Today interview with his doctor, presumably his HIV doctor, or maybe just a private doctor, who explains the medical side of things and talks about the main battle for Charlie is going to be one of relapse. So he's talking about his past substance misuse, and in particular that if he relapses, he might miss taking his HIV medication because he's using drugs and then he's not going to be undetectable anymore. So again, he's kind of focusing on that element. Which again, I find it's a weird thing to talk about, isn't it? If you're talking about someone with HIV and they're disclosing on national television and you kind of want to reassure people that they're taking their diagnosis seriously and managing it really well, why would you focus on that?
It is a bit of an odd one, isn't it? I saw a friend of mine that weekend that the interview had gone out and she mentioned the U equals U part to me. And she had said, oddly enough, well, it's just rubbish, because she'd never heard of U equals U. So she said, it's absolute rubbish. That can't be true, that you can't pass that on. And I thought, oh, well, this hasn't helped to dispel myths at all, has it? It hasn't helped to educate people, because she's there going, no, he's lying. Like, I mean, he's not.
And oh, then, no.
I went through it with her and obviously explained the science behind it. And she was like, oh, wow. But imagine if I hadn't had that conversation. She's just over there going, no, he's a liar.
Oh, dear. I mean, he said in the interview that the reason for going public, well, the other reason, other than obviously wanting to disclose his status, was to help dispel the stigma in the hope that one day people can thank him for reducing stigma as a consequence of the interview. he's putting a very different spin on this compared to the story in The Enquirer. Do you want some quotes? Do you want some quotes from the interview?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the first one, he says, direct quote, "I have a responsibility now to better myself and to help a lot of other people. And hopefully with what we're doing today, others will come forward and say, thanks, Charlie."
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So it's not actually for the greater good. It's just so that he can be like, well done me. Yes.
Another quote, he said, "If there was one guy on this planet to contract this that's going to deliver a cure, it's me. It's me, seriously."
I really hope we're going to address this later on when you say what happened since.
Yeah,
pretty sure he's not found a cure. Haven't heard about it yet.
No, well, it surprised me too, because I thought we might have done. And then the third quote, this is a nicer quote. He says, "I'm not going to be the poster man for this, but I won't shun away from responsibilities and opportunities that drive me to helping others."
That sounds very honest and fair play. No one should have to be forced to be a poster boy for anything like that. It's just a bit of a move away from those initial two quotes, isn't it? It's "the world will thank me if anyone's going to find a cure, it's me." Very much that's putting you in the spotlight. And then over here, "oh, I don't want to be the poster boy for it." Yeah. You can tell, like we're saying, that the team have worked on it, obviously. His team of people, that's their job. That's what they do, isn't it? To try and spin this and make it look better. So kind of a mixed bag of messages, I would say there.
I would think so. And I think that's the theme of the interview. It's a bit car crash TV and you want him to come out of it well because, you know, he's having to disclose his status. But equally, there are some bits that you're like, oh, I don't think you should have said that. It wasn't the best. Now, let's look at what happened after the interview. Did he deliver a cure? No, there's no cure for HIV. We know this. But did he make a difference? And in a word, yes, he did. And it's known as the Charlie Sheen effect. So researchers found that after he had announced his HIV on the television, sales of home HIV testing kits doubled in the United States. Prior to the interview, they were selling 3,500 kits a week. After the television interview, that went up to 7,000 kits a week. And the boost in sales continued for several more weeks.
That's fantastic.
So that's amazing, isn't it? One of the kind of study co-authors, he's called Benjamin Outhouse. He's a research scientist with the Institute of Disease Modeling in Bellevue in Washington. And he said it's hard to appreciate the magnitude of Sheen's disclosure. When we compared Sheen's disclosure to other traditional awareness campaigns, the Charlie Sheen effect is astonishing.
Astonishing is a big word, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the researchers estimated sales of home HIV testing kits were nearly 8 times greater around the time of his announcement compared with sales around the time of World AIDS Day, which is or was at the time the highest profile HIV awareness campaign in the States. And because his past had been covered extensively in the press, public health officials believe this contributed to a greater level of education in America as people learned that certain types of behaviour put you more at risk of contracting HIV.
So America really is saying thanks, Charlie, because of this Charlie Sheen effect.
Absolutely. So whether, you know, it's prompted more people to get tested, it's raised awareness around education of the perils of having unprotected sex. So it did have a positive effect, which is a great thing.
That is awesome. But I mean, what a story. I know we're at the end of it where we're saying, oh my God, this is amazing. But I keep just thinking back to the last episode and being like, how did we get here on this roller coaster?
It is a real roller coaster journey, isn't it? It really is. Yes. I think it's probably the most roller coastery. That's a new word for us, isn't it? Of all the episodes we've done so far.
Wonder if they'll make a film out of it.
I don't know, because you do think, well, why haven't they made a film already? All the parts are there.
Charlie could play himself, though. We know he's a good actor.
Yeah, he could. Definitely. Oh, okay. Now, let's look at the longer term effect. So it's hard to tell when HIV test sales return to normal, but the news stories continued. So this is a story that didn't die. This rolled on and on. And each time that raised awareness of HIV and it got people talking. So, for example, do you remember the reports that were linked to him that said that he used lambskin condoms?
Yes.
I remember them too.
Oh, you're going to tell us. Sorry. I was going to ask if it was true. And then I realised you're about to tell me.
Well, it is true, according to the media. And it relates to a story about someone called Bree Olson. She's one of his former sexual partners. So she went on the Howard Stern show to talk about how he'd never disclosed to her about his HIV status, but that he had told her he was clean and that he'd used lambskin condoms when they were together. Now, she didn't want to use them. She wanted to use regular condoms. And she says, you know, I made the mistake that a lot of people do. I trusted him. So lambskin condoms provide less protection, as you probably know, than latex condoms. But they can increase sensitivity and they are effective at preventing pregnancy, but they don't prevent the transmission of sexually transmitted infections, including HIV.
I can't even believe they're a real thing. I thought you were just going to say it was some kind of bonkers thing that we've made up. And it's like, oh.
No, they are real. They're not made from lamb's skin. They're actually made from something called lamb cecum.
What is that?
Well, initially, let me tell you, I wondered if that actually was the semen of a lamb. How? First of all, how are they getting this? And then how are they weaving it into a condom?
How are they? Oh, my goodness.
And who thought that that would be a good idea as a prevention for pregnancy? Who was looking at a field of lambs? Was there a scientist going, do you know what? I think lamb semen, that'd make a good condom.
It looks a bit like it's made out of, I've just found an image on Google to show Sarah. I'm sure you've already looked them up, but I just couldn't wait, to be honest. I just can't believe it. So what is this lamb cecum?
Right, let's clear this up. So lamb cecum is a pouch located at the beginning of a lamb's large intestine. So it is part of a lamb, but it's not the skin. And they use that to make these condoms. How they ever worked out that this could be used as a prevention method for pregnancy, I don't know. But they do exist.
Because I actually can't believe it. Because when I've Googled it, it's talking about medieval times. And I'm like, as if this couldn't get weirder. As if this wasn't weirder. And this says reusable. What?
Oh, no. I mean, he is a very interesting character, isn't he? And this is his preferred method of contraception. It wouldn't be mine. And as I said, let's make our position clear on this. We would not recommend using them. So if you're allergic to latex, most condom companies now produce non-latex condoms, and they're effective at preventing pregnancy and STIs.
Yes.
So we would prefer people to use them than to use lambskin condoms, but they do exist and you can buy them.
It just gets wilder and wilder, this.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie, in my head, didn't you have a vision of a lambskin condom? I don't know why I thought of it as being like a, you know, like a lambskin rug, but kind of rolled up like a tiny one. I don't know why I thought that's how it would look, but in my mind, that's what a lambskin condom would look like, a tiny lambskin rug. Just go.
Yes, that's what I thought, like a woolly condom. I thought, yeah. I don't really get how that's going to work. And then when you see that it's made from lamb cecum, you're like, well, that's even worse. None of this is good. And I just don't know why people would buy these.
Yeah.
So that clears up that story. If we want to know more about kind of Charlie Sheen, for instance, did he work again? Because we mentioned that earlier. Kind of stepped out of the limelight, really. In 2017, he started a relationship with a nanny of his children. So his life was more settled, but he was working less and he had financial issues. So he
Because he spent £10 million blackmailing people?
Yeah, it could very well have been, but he wasn't working. He wasn't bringing any money in. He nearly lost his home. It was reported that he'd been blacklisted by many in the entertainment industry, not necessarily because of his HIV. I mean, he'd been living a very chaotic lifestyle up until his TV interview. And even afterwards, there were women coming forward saying they'd had unprotected sex with him. So, you know, he's probably not going to be a director's first choice for a leading role because there's still so much controversy around him.
And you don't want your project to be overshadowed by someone's personal life, do you? You want your whatever you're working on them with to be the main thing, front and centre.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And there have been reports since he opened up about his diagnosis, probably haven't helped him regain an image of being more stable, if I'm honest. So in 2017, there were stories emerging that he'd stopped his HIV medication and was seeking an alternative cure in Mexico. So there's an article in the Independent, UK Independent at the time, which said that since receiving the treatment, the 2.5 men actor said he does not recommend the alternative treatment and was just presenting himself as a type of guinea pig to trial it. However, his viral count had revealed to be higher than before he went on this alternative treatment, and he had now resumed taking his anti retroviral drugs.
Well, he's very open-minded, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And he's also quite honest, isn't he? Kind of going to the press, or maybe the press found the story that he'd done that. But it's fair to say he's a little bit of a liability.
A little bit, yeah.
He did go back on medication and, as far as we know, continues to manage his HIV well. But the stories around whether he deliberately misled the women he slept with, well, they continue. So there was a lawsuit settled against him by an ex-girlfriend. Terms of the settlement weren't divulged, but it was around the fact that he hadn't disclosed to her and they'd had unprotected sex. And, you know, there were probably other lawsuits out there. Who knows? But in a way, I mean, he's still paying the price for his diagnosis.
All of it from start to finish is just so, I don't want to say bananas, because obviously this is somebody's life. But like we said in the last one, this is Hollywood and things are slightly different. And, you know, it starts out with Dylan flying over to drink Charlie's urine. And then here we are. I feel like it's just going to rattle on, isn't it? It's going to be something where constantly, like you're saying, other lawsuits might pop up here and there, or reports of what Charlie's up to. Once the press have something like this has happened, I feel like they hound you. It on and on and on, because there always might be a story.
Yeah, definitely. And they know that he's probably more likely than other people to have that story because of the way he lives his life. Maybe they will do a film one day. Do you know how the film could open? With us two doing a podcast episode.
We could narrate the whole thing.
Yes, we could. We could. They could keep cutting back to us and then they'll go on to that portion of his life.
I wonder if he's still using lambskin condoms.
Oh, gosh, I hope not. I just don't think anybody should use them.
I hope not either. But if he was using them before all this, I feel like the chances are he's still using them.
Well, quite possibly.
Who knows? Well, we learned lots. I was going to say we learned something new. We learned lots of new things.
We have. And that's all you need to know, really, about Charlie Sheen and HIV.
I say it every week, but honestly, that one, this one, it's just been so interesting just because it's so crazy.
I think it has. Do you know what I have kind of battled with? It's that I want to like him and root for him because he's been open about his diagnosis. On the other hand, I found some of the things that have taken place a bit kind of hard to swallow, really. And I'm just like, oh, it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, the press broke this story and I mean, everyone's got their own opinion of the press, haven't they? But trusted someone who then kind of went through all his personal items and found out lots of information and obviously published that to the world, saying that they were going to protect the women that had unprotected sex with him, or using that as their moral stance for doing their justification for doing it, which isn't great. But then I don't think he's helped himself either. It's been a difficult one. I don't think I've come to the end of this and thought, well, that's all sewn up. How lovely.
Yeah, and you like that, don't you? You like everything in a nice bow. There we go. Move forward. No, I can totally see what you're saying. This is more, here are the facts and this is what happened.
So I don't feel I've concluded in a great way, really. I've just, I'm not happy.
Maybe there'll be a part three if and when he finds a cure. We'll do part three, Charlie Sheen.
That would be amazing. I mean, I'm going to bet money that the scientists might find a cure before Charlie Sheen, but you never know. It's Hollywood. This could happen.
Yeah, he might have resources that we just don't know about.
Might be working on it right now. Yeah. Maybe that's why he's been so quiet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
I already know what the next one is. Again, I'm not going to ruin it because I don't know the history to it, but everyone should tune in because I'm very excited about it.
They should tune in. We are looking at a huge moment in history next week. A huge, absolutely huge. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Enormous. And if you don't want to miss it, then subscribe to the podcast because it will just download it straight for you and it will be right there waiting for you. Perfect. I'll see you for this enormous moment in history soon. I shall go and prepare myself.
Oh, I'd love to know how you're going to prepare yourself.
Mentally, I think. Mentally prep.
Okay.
Well, get my facial expressions ready.
Yes.
I feel like I'm going to be horrified quite a lot.
Possibly.
With That's people's right. actions, by the way, not because of content.
Or my delivery.
Yeah, no, none of those things. Just with the actions of people. Okay, fabulous. Well, I will see you then.
Thank you for listening to HIV Hope and Charity. If you'd like to know more about the work that we do, visit tvps.org.uk. And please like, subscribe, and rate the podcast if you enjoyed it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.